reading comes from Acts 7, verses 54 through 8:1a. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes on at his feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Thank you for the reading of the word.
Thank you, Sylvia. Well, we're moving through the book of Acts. There's still a lot to go, but we've covered a lot already. Wanted to test you with a couple of things this morning before we begin. See if you remember things like this. How many of you watched the Super Bowl game? A few. Anyone remember who it was that scored the first touchdown? No. Probably not. I see 99% of the people probably never remember that at all. It's gone. Never to be remembered again. How many of you know who built the old Mackinac Lighthouse here in town? It stands there and has stood for years and years and years, but whoever built it, I think they're long gone, but the lighthouse still stands. How many of you know the person, now get this so you get this right here, who led the person to Christ that led you to Christ? Who led the person to Christ that led you to Christ? Oh. Some would know because it's in the family. Others would say, I have no clue. All that to say this, our witness as Christians never dies, even though the memory of you and me might. Our witness as Christians will never die, if our witness as Christians is a Christian witness. Okay? Our witness as Christians will never die because the witness that we have has an eternal purpose, not a temporal purpose. I mean, like I told you about the football game, it was great to whoever scored the first touchdown, but I mean, in the ultimate scheme of things, does that have an eternal purpose to it? Nah. The lighthouse, beautiful lighthouses out here, they built these beautiful lighthouses, but we don't remember them. The lighthouse still stands as a witness. And you know how oftentimes we use that as an analogy to the light of Christ, like a lighthouse that steers a boat away from danger and that sort of thing. That person who led the person to Christ that led us to Christ, that's an eternal witness. We may have never known who that was, but they laid a witness down that was eternal. I wanted us to look at Stephen again this morning. You know, Stephen's got a very short-lived history here in Scripture. Chapter 6, chapter 7, he's gone. He died. We hear about him in chapter 6 because he looked like he'd be a great waitress or waiter. He'd be a great waiter, taking care of the widows who didn't have the food distributed to them like they should have, and he was one of those men full of the Holy Spirit that was assigned to take care of the people who don't have enough provision, who were there in Jerusalem. Just a chapter after that, he's dead. But his witness never died. I want to talk about that briefly this morning. You know, Stephen seems kind of harsh in those verses that we read. If you remember the last part of the text last week, he was kind of harsh to those who were kind of starting to argue with him. And he was pretty harsh with them, basically saying, look, you're the ones who put Jesus on the cross. You're the ones who did this horrible thing. And they didn't like what he had to say. They were angry with him. But you know, you have to go back just a little further to realize, I don't think Stephen started out so harsh. When he was waiting on the tables and taking care of the widows and the orphans and those people that were there that were not very well taken care of, and he was taking care of them, I'm sure what he was doing was sharing with them about this one Jesus who came and he died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven. And he's my Savior, and I want you to know about this Savior. Because if you look back, you'll see that when he started doing this along with these other six that were with him and the apostles that were teaching and preaching, it says in those verses, and we read them a couple weeks ago, the Lord added a large number to the faith. I would assume as Stephen started, he was probably very, I shouldn't say easygoing, but he wasn't arguing because they weren't arguing with him. He was just sharing the truth. But what seemed to happen over time, there were those who were opposed to what he was teaching. And Stephen started to have to share truth with a little bit more of an edge. He had to share truth with a little bit more to it than he did at the beginning. He seemed harsh in verses 51 and 53, but previous to that, I'm sure he was sharing the truth and people were hearing it. But now they were starting to oppose, and the enemy will oppose truth. He started out in chapter 6, verse 8 with miracles and wonders. Not that in-your-face kind of confrontation, but he started out sharing with them miracles and wonders and the Word of God. And then opposition started to grow. Men started to argue with him, but they couldn't stand against the wisdom that he had and the Holy Spirit that had filled him. He kept speaking the truth. So the truth was presented. And you and I have the opportunity to present the truth as well. And oftentimes, truth is received very well by others. I know there have been times in my life when truth has not been received very well. And there was opposition to the truth. So truth is resisted sometimes. They were furious. Why were they furious? Why were these people furious with him? Because he was addressing them with the truth. He was addressing them with the truth, and that truth affected them. How do you and I respond when truth addresses us? I don't like it sometimes when someone confronts me with the truth. Are you the same way as I am? Or are you like, oh, yeah, bring it. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sometimes maybe we can get like they were, and maybe we become infuriated with the truth because it hits me and I realize I'm in the wrong and I don't want to hear the truth. They were infuriated. But you know, sometimes truth can also be something else. It can be very freeing when we hear the truth. Sometimes the truth can be very freeing. It allows us to then become transparent about what's going on, and truth can set us free. That's what the Bible says. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the truth can also be framed. And for many people in this time and in this place, the truth was very freeing for them. Because they saw what the truth could do. So the truth was presented. The truth was resisted by some. But the truth was also supported. And it was ultimately supported by the one who we have to make sure supports, because we're speaking His truth. God. God Himself. God is with those who speak the truth. And wasn't it interesting as we read those verses here this morning that Stephen, it says in verse 55, when he's being confronted by these folks and they want to kill him, verse 55, Stephen, it says at that point in time, he saw the glory of God in verse 55. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a scene to see. He knew that the truth that he was speaking was being blessed by the God who said, "Speak it. Speak the truth." These people need to hear the truth. And even though sometimes speaking the truth brings persecution, he said, "Speak the truth." That's what he was seeing when he saw God, when he saw Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. He had that confirmation he needed that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was sharing the truth. Confirmation that God was with him, that he would never leave him and never forsake him. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And we need to know that when we are speaking truth and that truth is being resisted. We need to know that God is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? I think of the world that we're living in today and the war between good and evil. I want to stand on the side of good. I want to stand on the side of righteousness. I want to stand on the side that God says I should stand on. And if I do, nothing can stand against us. Nothing. The older I get, the more the tug of heaven is more appealing and more the appeal of the earth is less appealing. Even though I love it here on this earth because God created it for our good. And I do. I love living here on this earth. But there's this part of me that says, God, if I have to speak truth, and it would mean I'd no longer be here, so be it. Stephen knew that God was supporting him and his sharing of the truth that God had presented to him. He knew that God was for him, and if God was for him, it didn't matter what was happening in the next couple of verses. Stephen was following him. And so what did happen in those following verses is this truth that Stephen was sharing with the people was being not just resisted, but rejected. They didn't want to hear the truth. You hear what they did here? You ever do that when someone says something you don't want to hear? You ever done that before? You know, I don't want to hear it. Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. No, I don't want to hear it. So you do that. These folks here, it says that they were yelling at the top of their lungs. They did not want to hear what Stephen had to say. They were yelling at the top of their lungs. They did not want to hear the truth. They drowned him out with their yelling. And then they dragged him away and they stoned him. They rejected the truth. And yet here was Stephen, being dragged away and being stoned. The pain as each rock hit him, I don't know how many times he had to be hit before he finally succumbed. But the stage was set for something here. That although the truth was rejected, the truth was going to be resurrected. Who was there? Saul. I have a feeling, I have a sense that Saul was not just there at his stoning, but Saul was there listening to the things that Stephen was saying. And that Saul was being confronted with this truth, and he was angry, and that's why he went out there to see him stoned too. Because he was angry and furious at the truth that was being shared, and it was hitting him, and he didn't like it. And I kind of wonder if it was Stephen's testimony that, in a sense, made Saul receptive to the Damascus Road experience. When Jesus finally revealed himself to him when he fell blind and he spoke with Jesus himself. The truth is of Stephen, just like the truth was when Jesus died, when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Something similar happened to Stephen when he was dying, didn't it? The truth is, he loved those who hated him. So when we think that Stephen might have been a little bit stern with the truth that he was sharing with those who he was around, he was sharing the truth because he loved them, not because he wanted to stir up trouble. He said in verse 60, "Lord, don't hold this against them." What a beautiful thought when he's being stoned. The previous verse, he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." What a beautiful testimony in those two verses to Stephen. And although he died, the truth that he shared lived on. Stephen died, but truth lived. Because I think Saul saw the truth and he was chewing on it for a while, because it's only two chapters later he has this Damascus Road experience. Saul died, and eventually Paul came to life. Spiritually speaking, Saul died. Paul is the new Saul. So you see, our witness never dies. Stephen died, but his witness carried on. Now, we know about Stephen because the biblical text tells us about Stephen. But even more so, we know about the truth that Stephen shared, because that truth rings eternal. The truth needs to be told. There will be many who will not listen. There will be many who will object. There will be many who will be infuriated. And some of those who are infuriated at one point will turn around and receive the truth down the road. How do you and I respond if the truth needs to be told? The same way it was with Stephen. In the power and in the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, as we live our lives, with wisdom that comes from above, not from ourselves. We glean that wisdom from reading His Word. With love and with care for those who hear. Because we aren't here to knock them over the head with it. We're here because we care. What did Stephen do before he shared the truth? He waited on the tables. When you think about it. Before he shared the truth, he showed that he cared. Right? And if I show you that I care about you and I love you before I share something really important to me, you're probably more likely to listen, aren't you? So, maybe we start with, we need to care and we need to love even the unlovable and those we don't really care about. We need to care about them and we need to love them. And when we show them that we love them and care about them, then, maybe then, they're willing to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Some may be infuriated, but others will receive it, and it'll be freeing for them, just like it was for us. Amen? Amen. God, we thank you and praise you for one like Stephen. A short-lived testimony. It didn't last very long as far as the words from his mouth, but yet it did, because his witness lived on forever. Lives were transformed because of what he believed in and shared from his heart. And Lord, I pray that for us as well. Lord, I pray that we'd be more concerned about the eternal things than the temporal things. We'd be more concerned about the eternal things than making a name for ourselves. God, help us to realize what the most important thing in life is. It's you. It's our relationship with you. And we're grateful. Lord, as we spend the last few moments together this morning, we spend it in celebrating communion. And in communion, we are reminded of that relationship and the price it took to bring about that relationship. That yes, Jesus died. He gave His body on the cross of Calvary. That bread represents the body of Christ that was given for us. And the blood that was shed, the life blood that was shed on the cross, represented in the drink. He gave His life so that we could have life. That we would die to sin and to be raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.